Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Commander Clash podcast, where the Commander Clash crew talks all things Commander. And this week, we're talking about weird ways to ramp that actually work, at least in some decks. So that's our topic. Every deck in Commander, most decks in Commander need to be able to ramp, but some colors are a little bit worse at it than others. But we got some really interesting ways that you can get extra mana on the battlefield. But before we get into all that, we got a crew to introduce, and we got a small crew this week. Phil, he's out on vacation somewhere, but we're joined by Krim. How's it going today, Krim?
Going all right. My cat is just hitting stuff. Okay. Yeah.
She knows it's podcast time every time.
other than that, it's pretty good. I'm pretty excited because, I mean, one of the hardest things to keep up with is green when it comes to Commander because, you know, they can ramp the best, get ahead on resources. So I'm excited to see if we can talk about ways to do that in other colors and in weird ways.
Yeah, and we're joined by a creative ramper himself in Tomer. Tomer, I'm glad you're... I know you're off traveling and kind of doing stuff this week, but I really wanted you here for this one because I associate weird ways to ramp with you. You have some good ramp tech. So how are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm also in vacation. I'm back in Canada for a week, and I saw that you guys had scheduled a podcast about weird ways to ramp. I'm like, no, not without me. No way. So I'm just like... assembled a setup very haphazardly to come in and talk about why mana rocks are terrible and you should run these weird unconventional cards instead.
There are no mana rocks, I don't believe, on our list today, so those aren't weird enough for us, but we got some good ones. And the way we're going to do it this week, instead of just picking a few random cards, we're going to go color by color through the colors of Magic and colorless and talk about, if you're playing a deck that's that color, here's some weird ways that you can ramp. But before we get to that, we got some sponsors today. Our show is brought to you by Foil Armor. Do you have problems with your foils curling? Well, Foil Armor is the ultimate solution for flattening your foils. It's a two-way humidity pack that you simply put inside an airtight container with your cards, and Foil Armor will absorb and release moisture, making your cards completely flat. Put it back in your storage box to keep your cards flat forever, and you can head over to foilarmor.com and use the code MTGGoldfish to get 15% off. Our show is also brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. You can use their curated service where you send in as many cards as you want with a buy list value of a dollar or more and pay just a 5% service fee. And if you want to do a bit of work, you can use a sorted service where you list and sort your cards in advance and pay just a 2% fee. Either way, you're going to get a detailed report with the results in a fast payment once your order is processed. And you can even get another 10% off by heading over to cardconduit.com/MTGGoldfish. Card Conduit, it's the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. So thank you to our sponsors for supporting the show. And normally, it would be time for the comment of the week, but we're recording this podcast a little early this week because people are taking off for Magic Cons and so forth. So no comment of the week this week, but it'll be back next week. So make sure to leave some good comments and maybe we'll mention it on cast next time. So anyway, let's talk about weird ways to ramp. And we're going to start with an easy one. The best ramp color in Commander, pretty clearly green. So I think green has way less necessary weird ways to ramp because you can just play the good ways to ramp. But we have a couple cards we wanted to mention for greed. So, Tomer, what do we have that's actually kind of a weird and unique way to ramp in green?
So there's a bunch of ways that you can actually sacrifice creatures for mana. Typically, this is like a black thing, like literal sacrifice is a thing. But didn't you know that there's a really cool ritual that is very sacrifice adjacent in green? It's called Metamorphosis. It's one green mana. It's a sorcery. It says sacrifice a creature to add an amount of mana equal to the mana value of that creature. Plus one. This may be spent on only one, adding one color. And you can only use it to cast creatures. That mana to only cast creatures. I read that very badly. But you get the gist of it.
I got the gist.
I didn't read the Oracle.
Yeah.
It's an old card.
That's the 1993 wording. Yeah.
So I was trying to translate it in real time. And it was bad. But basically, it's really cool if you have just like high mana value creatures in your deck, in your creature heavy deck. Then you just like sacrifice something that's already got any value. And then, you know, put in like 8 plus mana into something. I run it in Galta, which is like a 12 mana commander that you can cast for 2 green mana. And then you just like attack with Galta or whatever. and then sacrifice it for 13 mana, and then you can cast more creatures and then recast Galta for 2 mana again. And it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
Didn't you do that to us on a Commander Clash episode, by the way? I'm pretty sure
Not
you
that
did
long
that
ago,
to
even.
Us.
I did it. So I also run it in an Emoti. What was the gimmick? It was Emoti Emerge Eldrazi deck. And again, that's the whole thing is Emerge Eldrazis. They have really high mana value, but then you get to cast them for very cheap because you're emerging them out. So you're sacrificing something and then you're paying the difference in mana. And it turns out it was very good there. It was also a $15 deck, and I gave it to Phil at MagicCon Vegas. So, yeah. It's a good deck.
I feel like cards like this keep getting better because we keep getting more and more creatures that are like high mana value, but you can cheat into play on the cheap. Like in one way, talking about Evoke and Galta, but we get more and more of these mechanics. So I think the more of those cards we get, the better this type of effect gets. I know another green card I wanted to shout out that I think is a good green way to ramp that's kind of weird is Gaia's Touch. Gaia's Touch, we're going all the way back to the dark. It's a double green enchantment. This is you can play an additional land on each of your turns, but only if it's a basic forest. And then you can also sacrifice it to make 2 green mana. So it's kind of this weird combination of like kind of a weird, it's not even a ritual because it's only mana neutral. It's 2 to cast and you get it back, but you can store up that mana kind of like a treasure and like play this on turn 2, ramp into something big on turn 3, or you can just play it as an extra land drop effect, kind of like an expiration, assuming you're willing to play a lot of basic forests. There is that restriction. It's not so any land each turn. But yeah, it's perfect for a Tomer deck. Tomer, do you play this card? Do you like the basics?
I did back when it was like 10 cents and I put it in all my budget brews. It's like, yo, guys, I'm playing a mono green. Here's my mono green expiration that's really, really cheap. And then you savages, you spiked it up to $3 and now it's out of the range of
no
my $20 brews. Don't do this with Metamorphosis, by the way. If you're listening to this, the card is trash. Don't listen to us. Don't buy it out. I want to keep putting it in my budget, Bruce, you monsters.
Krim, I got to ask you about one more card before we switch colors, and that's Elemental Resonance. Elemental Resonance, 4 mana enchantment, you enchant a permanent. In the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, you make mana equal to that permanent's mana value. So another card, if you put on like a Galta or something, you're going to make an insane amount of mana. What do you think about this one? Is this worth playing in any decks?
It's at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase. So
you don't get it the
turn
you
can
wait. Yeah, you got to
right.
wait.
So it's the next main phase one. Man, this card, when this came out like in standard, I was just, this was a standard set. I was like, wow, what is this card ever used for? So I'm not going to lie to you. To see this right now, I think it's kind of nuts. But it is interesting because I do like that. There's so many things, as we had mentioned earlier, with mana reduction nowadays. Mm-hmm. My curiosity about this is like, would you play this in? I think green just does this normally. You don't need to do this money enchantment. So this is more like if you're trying to ramp in, like, I don't know, maybe like a non-green deck, but it's a green card. So yeah. I actually don't know if I like this card that much in green. I'm curious, is there a usage for it? Like, where do you envision this going?
So the best I could see, and again, like, I think green is the worst color we're going to talk about today just because they have so much good ramp that you don't really need to play the weird ramp most of the time. But it's interesting that you enchant any permanent. So I think putting on a creature is actually, like, probably the sketchiest because that's going to be the easiest way to get blown out by a wrath or removal. But if you can stick this on, like, an expensive enchantment, there's some artifacts that you can get, like, affinity cost reduction. I don't know how well they work in mono green in specific since green might not be the artifact color. But I imagine putting this on some like expensive non-creature permanent that you cheat in the play on the cheap, and then you're just making like a huge amount of mana every turn. But Tomer, have you played with this card?
Okay, so I put it on the list because I put it in my Xenagos God of Revels deck.
Ooh.
Xenagos is a commander that is indestructible. It's a 5 mana gruel, indestructible enchantment creature god. It's not even a creature unless you have devotion to red and green equal to 7. So the cool tech is you like slap it on Xenagos. Xenagos, at least from my personal experience, usually doesn't die very often. So it's just like you slap it on Xenagos, and then every single turn on this 4 mana enchantment, you get to make 5 mana every single turn.
I mean, it's absurd.
Maybe it's not the best thing ever, but for Green's level, but I always thought it was neat.
it is a neat and like fun interaction, and I think it's very cute, right? So, but like, yeah. Would you ever say, like, even in that Xenagos deck, is this better than just say, like, I don't know, an Omen Path journey or whatever, Journey to the Omen Path? I don't know. Whatever, some ramp spell, right?
Probably not. I can't think of a deck where this would be super optimal. I don't know, maybe like Indestructible God Commanders make some sense to me. Like the more you can protect the thing, the better it seems. I almost wonder if they made this today if it'd be like a red card. Like the ritually kind of mana makes me think red. I think if this was in like a non-green color, this card would be a banger. Strong. Yeah, like if this was a mono red card, in green, it's going to be tough to find a home.
Very good that you bring that up. I can't wait till we get to another color.
Oh, well, I think it's about time to get to color number two, but it's not red. We got to get rid of the other good ramp color first, and then we'll get to the interesting one. So
it's going to sound funny to say.
I know it is weird to say, but the second best ramp color, I'm convincing Commander, is actually white because of all the catch-up ramp and all the like shenanigans you can get with bounce lands and Lotus Fields to keep your land counts. And we've just seen white be really, really good at ramping in Commander. But we do have three interesting ways and weird ways that you can ramp in white that actually work. Krim, why don't you pick your favorite from the list and tell us about it?
You know what? Let's go with the classic, because I am not going to touch the other ones. Actually, you know what? I will bring up the other ones. Let's talk about Path to Exile and Settle the Wreckage.
Yes!
I don't know.
What's wrong with that, Krim?
Tomer, did you put Path to Exile on this list?
I put all these cards on this list. What are you talking about?
Okay, because I'm like, I am going to bring it up just because it is hubris. But I guess Path to Exile, you know, target your own creature, get a basic land, you know, that is a ramp. Tomer, when in the history, though, have you ever settled the wreckage yourself?
Okay, I think I did it on Commander Clash even. I think I played Adeline and Adeline tokens, and I settled myself because even like your command, Adeline makes a lot of tokens. It makes three every single time you're attacking. Adeline herself doesn't even attack. And then those 1/1s are going to die anyway, right?
Yeah,
so you
can
just wait until blockers are declared, and then you just settle the wreckage yourself. And then you ramp over the green player, and it's amazing. No? Come on.
I actually think this plan has gotten better recently. So you got to basically be some sort of token deck. Even better if your tokens are kind of temporary, right? And we just got a mechanic this year that makes temporary tokens immobilize. So I think these are really, really sweet if you're playing Voice of Victory. You're playing, like, we got the Precon Zurgo that mobilizes. But if you're playing any of these mobilize cards, they're going to make these temporary tokens anyway. You can either path one of them and turn it into a ramp spell, or there is a window between after they deal damage and before they sacrifice themselves that you can take and just path and, like, get a ton of tokens off of it. So I think that mobilize is where I would want to play these cards most. I wouldn't play them in most decks, but in the right deck, I think it could actually be sweet.
There's also like the new, the Precon Commander Zurgo. He mobilizes and it's very sweet. And you want them to die in combat because then you get to draw cards. So this is like, I think the single best, I said it when I was doing the upgrade guide, but the single best card you can do to upgrade the Dragonstorm, the Mardu deck, is Settle the Wreckage.
Also,
and then you settle yourself for maximum value.
Like, Settle is just a fun gacha card. It's a card that I've started to try to slip into decks more. There's, like, obviously the iconic, like, Pro Tour Pentrick moment with LSV from, like, a decade ago. But, like, Settle just leads to those interesting moments where people don't expect it. So even if you don't play it to ramp, you can play it to get your opponents. And every once in a while, maybe you get a good ramp spell out of it.
Four open white mana is like what to cause trust issues, right?
Do you remember that standard, Krim? Oh my God. Yeah. It was like attacking into four open mana was so sketchy.
You half swing and then also like Wandering Emperor, right? So like four open white mana just means, oh boy. All right.
It seems like Krim cards 100%.
Oh, fully.
These are removal spells. I mean, they're ramp spells that double as removal. That's what I have seen.
I do play Settle, so that is fair, but not for the reasons you do.
Oh, here's one that I think is actually really good in white, and that is brought back in fetch lands. So we've seen this on Commander Clash. I know you do this, Tomer. I think Richard does it in some decks. But brought back for 2 mana instant speed can return 2 permanents that were put into the graveyard from the battlefield this turn into play tapped. So the idea is, even if you're playing mono white, and I know Phil has been playing more and more fetch lands in his mono color decks for synergies, but you can play fetch lands still. They are legal to play because they don't have any mana symbols on them. So you can crack a couple of, save up your fetch lands, crack a couple of fetch lands, use the mana from the fetch lands to immediately get back the fetch lands, and you essentially double rampant growth for 2 mana. Tomer, I see you smiling over there. I know you like this plan, right?
Well, obviously this is the truth. Right? I got Seth on board.
Oh, yeah.
But the next, I don't know about Crim's kind of nodding his head.
If you say depletion land, Tomer, you're going to lose me. If you say depletion lands, I swear.
Okay. I like that. Like,
I swear.
God, that's good. Because it's like, it's good. It's good protection too, right? Like, it's just good protection. Sometimes your board gets wiped and you get yourself by. Yes, it is. It is the next level. You got fetch lands. That's you know, the galaxy brain meme. There's like the little sparks, and it's like, yeah, you know, ramp is good. And then the second part is like brought back plus fetch lands. And the third part, galaxy boosh. It's brought back plus remote farm.
I knew you were going there. I knew it.
And then
it.
You get them back, and it's so good. And they also help with your catch-up ramp. I keep running them in Commander Clash to dubious results, but I tell you, my friends, this is the truth.
And I think the next level. Brought back is also just a pretty good card. Like you said, like, yeah, it's wrath protection. Like, if something dies to target removal, trades off in combat, you can get it back. So it's not a card that's like... One of the problems with some ramp spells, like, take Rampant Growth or even Nature's Lore, like, the best green ramp spells... They're really great early, but then late game, like, sure, you don't mind getting an extra land, but it's not really great on turn 8 or turn 9. Brought back gives you a spell that's really great early and is still very relevant in the late game, too, which I think is super powerful.
And I also like Cosmic Intervention, which is just like, oh, for the entire board. You can foretell it for 2 mana early when you don't need it. And then later on, you can cast it for the foretell cost for 2 mana afterwards. It
that's
saves your entire board.
Card. Yeah. I like Cosmic Intervention. That's a very good card.
Nice one.
All right, our last white ramp, weird white ramp, actually kind of similar. So these are cards that flip into lands. Legion's Landing, Thousand Moon Smithy. Legion's Landing, 1 mana enchantment, and it makes a 1/1 token. And as long as you attack with 3 things in a turn, it flips into a land that makes white mana, even makes tokens. Thousand Moon Smithy makes a Karnstruct when it enters. And then on your upkeep, you can tap 5 artifacts, and it flips into a land that can make more Karnstructs. I think these are just like really sneaky ways to ramp that people might not even think of as ramp, but they add an extra land to the battlefield. So in practice, they work like a ramp spell. Crim, you got to be on board with these ones, right?
Thousand Moon Smithy, a lot harder to flip, but I am a fan of the fishing side quest from Final Fantasy.
Ah, that also.
That one is much easier to flip. That one is much easier.
Let me look this one up. Fishing.
Catch a fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one is, okay, for those that don't know, we'll read it to you. So it is at the beginning of your upkeep. At the beginning of your upkeep, look at the top card of your library. If it's an artifact or a creature card, you may reveal it and put it in your hand. If you put a card in your hand this way, create a food token and transform it, and then it just becomes a white land that can, you can pay 3 to sack an artifact, put a 1/1 counter on each creature you control. So I think this, to get to the cooking campsite, the name of the backside land, I think that is a much easier task to do than to assemble like 5 artifacts and then tap them and then, you know, doing the Thousand Moon Smithy stuff. And it's also 1 mana cheaper. So I actually really like this card. No joke, yeah. I think cooking side quest Catch a Fish is a nice uncommon to ramp with.
I think if you have top deck manipulation, then it's very good. I think if it doesn't like if you're just hoping for the flip blind, I'd be a little bit sketched out, but if you tell me,
you're
like,
you're talking a blind counterbalance.
You tell me you'll see the top card. That's true. If you have the Crim luck, it's very good.
If you think about the value, though, it's actually like, so for 3 mana, eventually, draw like card. Maybe it takes you a turn or two to do it, but you draw a card, you get a food, and you get a land. That's actually a lot of like little bits of value. Yes, if you're only playing like 30 hits or something, you got 30 creatures, no artifacts really in your deck. Maybe it takes 2 or 3 turns to actually flip it, which I guess his ramp makes it slow. If you play this on turn 3 and you get an extra land on turn 6, that's kind of late in the game. But I do like the amount of value that it gives. I kind of forgot about this card, but I think I'm going to try it in some of my like creature artifact heavy decks and see how it feels.
And then when it transforms, it's notice how it's like not going to enter tapped.
Oh, that's a nice bonus, right? Too.
So you will be able to use that land on the turn it gets flipped.
I will say, I think Legion's landing is actually very, very good as ramp because it's one mana. You really got to be a token deck or a go wide deck where you're like playing a bunch of creatures early. But in a deck like that, it can flip very quickly. Like you can be flipping this on turn three or something, and that's really fast, and it's only one mana to get going. So I think that one is maybe my favorite of the flip ramp in white.
I'm gonna shout out my boy Thousand Moon Smithy to defend it a little bit though, because this is the one I run the most out of all the white flip lands. You have the top five untapped artifacts and or creatures you control. I think that's pretty easy to do in like token decks. Maybe you don't want to tap all them down, but I run in like Taysa, which is a clue deck. The latest Murders of Karlov Manor Taysa. The clues are just sitting around. They don't mind being tapped. It's whatever. I run in Tetsun, obviously. It's a flip artifact land, so it's very good there. And I think it's also really good in equipment decks. Like I run it in my cloud Cauldron deck, and like the equipments don't care if they're tapped or not. Sure. So you can just tap them around. And like a Gnomestruck is really big. It's just like a finisher. Like if you're pooping out Gnomestrucks, like that's your win condition right there. Like people are just gonna die to the random 10/10s that poops out. So that's why it. Like it costs more mana and stuff.
Smithy does work in the right shell, but I think Side Quest Catch a Fish can be more applied to more decks, general. Right? Because most decks will have a creature somewhere, unless, you know, you're me. But
I would agree with that. I think Thousand Moon Smithy good, but you got to be an artifact deck. I think that Side Catch a Fish, you got to have a bunch of creatures or artifacts, but I think that probably hits on like more decks could play it. All right, let's move on to the tough colors. We got the easy ones out of the way. Next up, we have the color that maybe is considered the worst in ramping, and that is blue. And we got a pretty good list here of weird blue ramp spells. let's start with you, Tomer. Why don't you give us a weird blue ramp spell to get into?
Why are you choosing wheel kids? Just because this is a little bit oddball. Whatever. I still think it's playable in some decks. I was high on this card. This is years ago that I was high on this card, and y'all made fun of me for it, but I think it's still decent. Retrace Image, one mana blue sorcery. Reveal a card in your hand. Then put that card into play if it has the same name as a permanent in play. So basically, the idea here is you're like mono blue or whatever. You have a bunch of islands. You play an island, turn one, you tap it, you play Retrace Image, you put another island to play. That's simple. It's basically half the mana of an explorer. You don't get to draw a card, but it does the same thing. I think this card is still pretty dang sweet. I run it in Spellslinger decks. Mono blue Spellslinger, which is like very narrow, but I think it's still cool. What are you guys saying? Would you run this in mono blue?
I have tried it. I think it really comes down to how you build your mana bases. So if you're going to do this, you got to be a basic believer or a deck that's like playing high tide and you want a bunch of islands anyway. If you're playing a Richard mana base where you're playing like, I'm mono blue, but I only have 8 islands, this is never going to work. But if you're playing a Tomer mana base where you got like 20 or 30 islands, then I think the card's really good. I would also add Metodic Manipulation in, which is kind of the same thing, except it's a 3 mana sorcery. And you look at the top 7 cards of your library and can put one of those cards on the battlefield if it has the same name as the permanent. So it kind of is the same way, right? As long as you already have an island, this can find you another island for 3 mana, which I know 3 mana ramp 1, not great compared to like Cultivate or something, but we're talking mono blue here. Mono blue, you know, beggars can't be choosers. Do you play these cards, Krim? Have you tried these?
Every time I think about adding Retraced Image, I just don't. I don't know why. It's there. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I'd rather
risky.
Have a consider. Right. It's risky. Whereas like a consider, I will always find at least I get surveil and then dig another card deeper. Right. So I think there is a home for this card. I like it, though. It is a fun card and very cool if you get to pull it off early. Right. Like I love that. More often than not, I'm just very worried about this. It's like a very bad top deck or something like that. And I don't know. I like it, though. I think it is cute. It's very funny in mono blue, but I would not play this if you have less than 25 islands.
Yeah, no, you have to. Do you ever math it out, Tomer, to see like how many you had to play to make it consistent? I can't remember if you told me one time, I did the math on this. I can't remember.
I did it and then I forgot.
And you forgot it, yeah. I imagine it's got to be
a
like 25
geometric
or something.
Calculator.
Though,
you can figure it out. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, so good. I think I think it's worth exploring for sure. What about this? This is the Richard special. How do you guys feel about Savor the Moment? And I guess the concept of extra turn spells as ramp spells in blue, which I know Richard pitched to us 1 week. He came, showed up on Clash with like 10 extra turn spells. And he was like, oh, it's my ramp. And I'm like, oh, Richard. But Savor the
Moment.
We're
like, thank God we killed him early.
Yes,
or
seriously.
Else the YouTube comments.
Yeah, how do you, that looks so bad though. Like if I'm just like, hey, by the way, I'm just going to cast Nexus of Fate. All right.
It's time stretch. It's explosive vegetation, you guys. It's like, no, not really.
I will say, Savor the Moment is the most justifiable because it's 3 mana. You get an extra turn after this one, but you skip your untap step. So really, it kind of is 3 mana blue explore almost, where like you get an extra draw step, you can play an extra land, but you can't really make use of the rest of your stuff. Do you think Savor the Moment's actually legit as ramp? Like, is a 3 mana explore even good enough in blue?
Okay, if we were gonna go with ramp spell, ramp spell.
Ramp, yes.
Really putting the air quotes around ramp here. This is obviously going to be good because if my Farseek or whatever, my Explorer can take an extra turn and give me another combat, yeah, I love it. But like, I am curious how often Richard casts this just to get to land number 4 before somebody else, right? Like, if I go on 3, cast this, play a land, pass, like, I feel like that is never the case with an extra turn spell.
I've seen him do it, I think, at least once.
I think
like,
it's
it is the fairest way, and also comes out earliest, which I think is important for ramp. Like, you don't generally, like, okay, if you ramp a little bit in turn 7 or something, it's not as valuable as, like, ramping on turn 2. Yeah. And so this one comes out on 3. So I think that's pretty good. And obviously, as all extra turn spells, they scale very well. Like, if you suddenly have, like, a vigilance creature, ways of untapping your stuff, maybe some planeswalkers, who knows, then suddenly, late game, you draw this, it's also not just, like, playing a land and draw a card. It's, you know, more significant.
Yeah. Get more value out of it, for sure. Yeah, I think it's an interesting idea, at least. Tomer, what else do we got on our blue list as weird ways to ramp?
You didn't put it on, but I need to talk about my boy. I'm sorry. I'm derailing everything. It's War of Invention.
Oh.
It didn't make the cut.
Yeah.
I think this is actually the best blue ramp. it's triple blue and X for an instant that says improvise. So your artifacts can help cast a spell. Each artifact you tap after you're done activating mana abilities, pays for 1 mana. And then you can search your library for an artifact card with mana value X or less, put onto battlefield, and shuffle. So for 3 mana, if you have an artifact land in your deck, for 3 mana, instant speed, you ramp out an artifact land. That's simple. If you have like a indestructible land that taps for 2 mana, perhaps, like a bridge, then it's mana fixing even on instant speed. But then the other thing is that it can also just grab anything else. So for 3 mana baseline, you can get a land easy. But, you know, you pay 1 more mana, you can, like, get a Sol Ring onto the battlefield or whatever utility, and then it goes on from there. And then if you're in an artifact deck, it gets even better. But, like, this is probably my most played blue ramp spell, I would say.
Yeah, that it is a good one. That was just oversight that didn't end up on the list. But, no, War of Invention is great. The more I theorize and think about artifact lands in Commander, the more I become convinced there's some of the best weird ways to ramp in, like, multiple decks. I know, like, we're just talking about in blue, using them is a ramp spell. In red, I know Tomer used them with Cleansing Wildfire is a ramp spell. You can copy them, like, a copy artifact can just copy an artifact land, and that's kind of a blue rampant growth. There's even, like, a prototype portal. You can imprint an artifact under it and make a copy of it for its mana cost. So if you imprint an artifact land, it's just 0 mana tap, make an artifact land, and you can do it every turn. The artifact lands open up a lot of synergies that you wouldn't have with any other land. So I think artifact lands are, like, sneakily one of the best weird ways to ramp in multiple colors, actually.
I am so curious. Because, like, I myself get very scared on anything that pulls artifact lands. I don't even like putting artifact lands in my deck.
Yeah.
Because they always get blown up, right? Just passively. Like, you know, it's, oh, I'm going to play Rexage. I don't know. I'm going to just target that.
Nothing to target.
So... But I do like War of Invention because the instant speed, right? Like, the War of Invention, now that is a card I think is a sweet ramp spell. But I am the player that is, like, always like, but what if I held on to this and I just got my...
True.
I don't know, my 5-drop artifact or something, right? So I very rarely, unless I am in a very bad way, will I ever like demonic tutor for a land, right? So
I
find it hard to, I don't think of it like traditionally as a War of Invention, as a ramp spell, but you're right, it is, and it can do that, just like Cord can go grab me like a mana dork, right? So I do like this card, and I think it's versatility. Now this, I would say, is closer to an actual ramp spell than like an extra turn spell. So I would choose War. I like War.
Yeah, I think War is definitely super super interesting. And I think I would say, Krim, you mentioned artifact lands being sketchy because they get blown up. That is very true. It helps a little bit if you play the indestructible ones like Darksteel Citadel, sure, or the Modern Horizons ones. You still get got by like Karns and Stony effects that stop you from activating the abilities on artifacts. So there's still risk, but it gets around some of the risk. My favorite blue way to ramp, and I'm curious what you guys think about these two cards I'm going to put together. And these are not great Commander Clash ways to ramp because we've essentially just pushed Mana Rocks out of our meta altogether. So it doesn't work in our meta. But if I go to a Magic you have, Krim, you've killed them for me. You've straight up killed them. But if I go to a Magic Con, speaking of borrowing, if I go to a Magic Con, Thieving Skydiver and Thotadel Inquisitor, these are ways that you can steal your opponent's artifacts. Thieving Skydiver, 2 mana for a 2/1 flyer, but it has Kicker of X, and if you kick it, you steal an artifact with mana value X or less when it enters. Thotadel, a 3-mana 2/2 Island Walker, when it deals combat damage to a player, you search that player's library for an artifact, exile it, and you can play it until the end of turn. What do you think of these as ramp spells? Like, under the presumption that your opponent's going to be playing Sol Ring, they're going to be playing Arcane Signet, these mana rocks, and you can just steal your opponent's ramp. Maybe blue doesn't get to ramp, but you just take your opponent's ramp, which has the upside of not just giving you more mana, but putting one of your opponents down some amount of mana. So in some ways, it's even better than ramp. But do you guys think these are worth playing as weird ramp spells?
I think Thieving Skydiver is awesome. As someone who never draws their soul ring, I love taking other people's soul rings. Mm-hmm. So I never see my soul ring, I swear. But yeah, like I think this card is just super versatile and it steals anything. And I really like that it even has that equipment clause attached to it. Ooh, it feels real nice. This is just too versatile a card to not have in your deck that if you have blue.
Yeah, I think in a meta where people always play Sol Ring, which is most metas that aren't ours, I think this is pretty consistent that you're just going to steal something, like just a mana rock, hopefully a Sol Ring. That's a dream. And it's like a pretty reliable dream. I forget what the stats was, but like if there's 4 people at the table playing a Sol Ring, the odds are like 20% or something that someone's going to have a turn one or something like that.
It's something like that. Yeah.
And it's never me.
It's never. So if it's not you, that means that the percentage goes even higher.
Yeah, great. Sure. Someone, I think that's how that math
someone
works.
Someone else who's going to be the one with it. So yeah, for 3 mana, you put a body on the battlefield, you steal Sol Ring, and then it like scales up from there. That's really good. Thotadel, I do like too, but I would really want haste. Like if I have a deck that has reliable haste outlets, then it becomes good, because otherwise you pay 3 mana, you have to wait a turn cycle to steal something with it, but also you have to wait, you have to hope that somebody has an island. Not the biggest deal, but like that, needing an island, your opponent's having an island, and also needing haste for it to attack the turn it comes out is a bit. So it's more narrow, but Thieving Skydiver, I think you just like throw into any blue deck and be like, yeah, I'm going to steal Sol Ring or a Mana Rock or whatever. It's fine.
It's, yeah, that one's really good. Thotadel's a card I played a ton, like 10 years ago, when I was first getting into Commander. It was kind of a blue staple for me. If you go back to like the first Modo seasons of Commander Clash, I would always play that card in my blue deck. Don't play it as much anymore, but I still think it is a reasonable card. Maybe not quite up to the power level of 2025, but not that far off. Anything else quick on blue before we move on to red that we didn't cover here?
Energy tap is just like metamorphosis and sacrifice. But you don't have to sacrifice a creature. You just tap the thing and you make mana equal to the mana value. It's only colorless mana though. That's the downside, but you don't have to sacrifice it, which is good.
The rituals they printed in the early days of Magic are so wild. They're just like, oh, tap a thing and make mana equal to it. They never print cards like that anymore. But in the early days, like every color can just like make a ton of mana. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's high mana value, so people, and they couldn't, you couldn't cheat on mana value as much before too.
Yeah, you were casting your thing. Ebony Rhino for yeah, 7 mana. Or something. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the flip lands, Search for Zakanta, I play lot. I play that card a lot, but also there's like the Everflowing Well or something like that. It's like 3 mana, mill 2, then draw 2, and then when you have like Ascend. Yeah, when you like descend 8 or something, you have like 8 permanents in your graveyard. It flips into a sweet land. I run both of those, like, probably the most out of all of these on the list. But
what about the blue O'Hare? Do you run O'Hare?
Hold on, that card kind of slaps.
That card is good.
Actually,
it is good, but is it ramp?
If you have instants, yeah.
You know what? Yeah. If I get to the backside of that, I'm not exactly upset, right? So, Richard,
it's not bad.
This is your O'Hare accidental take, then know for sure.
It's a blocker.
Speaking of O'Hare accidental, let's move on to red cards. And I think we have like 3 or 4 different kind of plans that are weird for ramping in red. Tomer, I know a couple of these are yours. Why don't you hit us with your best weird ramp plan for red?
Okay, so this goes into I don't usually say this is a staple in all my red decks because I really like focusing on synergy and like what each deck is doing uniquely. However, if I'm in red, you have almost a guaranteed likelihood that I'm putting Return the Favor into my deck. So it's a spree card. It's double red instant and has spree 2 modes. The first one is +1 mana. Copy target is a spell, sorcery spell, activated ability, or triggered ability. You may choose new targets for the copy. And the other spree is also 1 mana. Change the target spell or ability with a single target. Ignore the second part. Second part is not relevant to the ramping part most of the time. But the first part is either a fork spell. So your opponent casts Cultivate or something, and you're like, I like that. I copy it for 3 mana. Easy peasy. Or sometimes you have like a fetch land. You crack a fetch in response, 3 mana. You copy the fetch's ability and you fetch twice. You get 2 lands onto the battlefield. Incredibly, incredibly flexible card. It's protection against targeted removal with the second mode. But the first mode is also just like legit ramp and it does everything. It does it all. It does everything at the same time, all at once. Best red card printed in the past couple years.
Yeah. I need to play it more. I know it looks good when you play it, and this always comes up when we talk about these effects. I just don't play them enough, but the more I think about them as ramp, the more I'm interested in them, because we just play in a meta on Clash where Phil likes ramping with green spells. I like ramping with green spells. Like, there's a lot of people that are casting ramp spells, so it seems pretty realistic that you can copy one of your opponent's ramp spells. And I think you can do this with a lot of different cards in red. That's one thing red's pretty good at, right? Even on top of this, you have like stuff like Fork you can play. And then once you start adding in synergies, you can be copying your own big score to get more treasures out of it on top of copying your opponent's stuff. So you get a lot of synergies out of these spell copying effects, I think, as ramp in red. What about you, Grim? What do you think?
This is kind of funny. I actually view Big Score as a ramp card, by the way, and Unexpected Windfall. Red ramp.
I play them in every red mono red deck.
Yeah.
I love those cards.
Right? Like, they're just like a default card in red because that is your ramp. I like Return the Favor, but I am not a fan of like Fork. Right?
Yeah.
Fork
over
Bridge. Go too far.
Yeah, I think Forks and things like that don't do it for me, but I really do like Return the Favor as a one of. But how many, Tomer, I know you load up on these effects, right? Is so funny. There's so many games where I've noticed like Tomer has like 8 cards. He's in red. He hasn't played
any of them.
Isn't
he doing
like
anything?
Okay, so the next thing that I'm going to play is probably getting copied like 40 times, right? So like I need to make sure what I'm doing here. And
give me a good spell, Krim.
That's it. To be fair, right, it is like a red counter spell also on top of that.
Yeah.
Because like I have to be mindful of what kind of spell I give you. And I do like that Return the Favor is one of those cards, but how many of these can you honestly run? And I think 2. I like 2. 2 of these effects seems like very solid. Anything else, now you're just Tomer trolling, right? You're Tomer playing mono red control, okay?
I run like 2 to 3.
Okay,
like,
Tomer, I feel like you run like 7 of these, man. Like
Sometimes more. It depends. Also against Krim, these double as counter spells, you know? Because if he counters
that
the spell,
important.
If he counters your spell, then you could redirect the counter spell back to to the fork. So then I'm like, well, maybe I add a couple more for the crim meta. But like, I think in general, you like run return the favor, and then
what's number two?
I really like the Duskmourne one. That's like
unexpected.
Result
or something. No,
unexpected results or unstable,
untimely malfunction.
Untimely malfunction.
Yeah.
That one's
those
also
are
a
the
redirect.
Two I play. I think those the two forks, are very good.
Yeah, the forks are a little bit tougher in just mono red. I think like if you're huge on big score, unexpected windfall, then there's like Seeds of Spoils, and there's like one that's like it's an unexpected windfall, but it's just sorcery speed.
I can't remember the name of that one. At the
if
moment.
You're running like all of them, then I think the forks get a little bit better because if you copy those are like cyclers. They're rummaging. You have to discard a card, then you draw two cards. You're not up cards, but you're up treasures. If you fork those, the copied one, since you're not casting the copy, you're just copying it. You don't have to discard a card as well, so you actually go up cards. It's very cute. So I think they get a little bit better then. But I think, yeah, Grim's right. It's a little bit narrow if you're going too many of them.
Speaking of Grim, oh, go ahead, Grim.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was actually listening. We'll go to the next.
I was going to say, I think you got an interesting plan for ramping in red that I hadn't even really thought of as being red ramp. But then you pitched it. I was like, wait a minute. That actually is a pretty interesting, weird way to ramp in red. What do you got for red, Grim?
Okay. Here's what y'all think about this. So two creatures. Right. And it's Electro Assaulting Battery, one red flying. You don't lose unspent red mana as steps and phases end. Whenever you cast an instant sorcery, you get a red. And then when it leaves, you may pay X. And when you do, he deals X damage to target player. And just like Electro, we've also got Leyline Tyrant from way back during one of the Zendikar sets, which is the same deal. You don't lose unspent red mana as phases and steps end. And when it dies, you get to do the burn thing again, but to any target. These cards, do you consider them ramp? Because I kind of do when I go into deck building. I even if I can't proc like Electro, right? Let's say I don't even cast that many instances of sorceries, and I'm mostly a creature deck. That doesn't change the fact, though, that I could store up mana. And I really like these store up mana creatures because they get awkward because they kind of force the hand of removal heavy decks, right? Because they're kind of powerful, and now Richard would say that this is exactly why they would suck, because they do draw attention from the table, a little bit of ire here and there, but I like that you could store up mana on these things, and I don't have to commit much more to the board, because I assume if you have a sweeper, you'll just blow this board up or remove this creature on its own. And I think that's where like Electro also gets a little interesting, because Electro is like an updated version of Leyline Tyrant, and all it checks is that it leaves the battlefield as opposed to dying. Mm-hmm. So I really like these two store up creatures. Well, do you consider them ramp?
Yeah, I do. I think I do consider them ramp. Now, I've never really thought about it before until we're doing this podcast, but I think they are ramp, but I think they're a little different than like a Rampant Growth style ramp effect. If I wanted to play these, I would play them as ramp, but I would play them in a deck where I thought that I could take advantage of them within like two or three turns. I wouldn't play these as cards that I would expect to sit out for the entire game. Like Rampant Growth gives me a land that's always going to make one extra mana. I would want to play Electro and use it like ramping into doing a big thing the next turn or the turn after, like in a relatively short time frame, just because I'd be too worried about it getting wrathed away eventually. So I think in the right deck, they definitely can be very powerful ramp spells. Would I just play them in any red deck like I do big score? Probably not. I want to be built around them a little bit, but I think in the right deck, they can be very good ramp.
I think, so I don't really consider storage, like I would call these like storage lanes, not storage lanes, storage creatures, where, where it doesn't put you up mana, but you get to hold onto it. I think, well, Electro is straight up ramp though, because its ability, triggering makes on mana, instant sorceries, it makes mana. So this is like straight up ramp for me. But if it's just like letting you store it, I think I would want it in particular in like Drago Crim decks, basically, or like you want to hold up all your mana, right? For interaction. Like I imagine like if Crim was playing Electro, he'd have like all the big scores. Maybe this would actually make him a fork believer too. Because like you could hold up mana for your forks and your epic plays, but then if nothing happens, you just like tap all your mana anyway and you store up the mana. So it's not like you've wasted that turn holding up your instance and interaction. And then you can just keep holding it up. And also, I think the removal ability is kind of like a deterrent where, like, yeah, your opponents have to deal with it eventually, but who's the one who's going to do it, right? Like, because somebody's going to have to deal with Electro, and that person's going to take the damage, right? You can use it politically. So you can kind of politically hold the table hostage a little bit where, like, nobody wants to be the person.
I love those kind of cards.
Yeah, your opponents will be like, I'm not going to blow it up, therefore I'm not going to get hit by this. You know, like, there's an implicit understanding there. So I think that's really, really effective, and it's really good at enabling draw-go decks where you want to hold up a lot of cool interaction, but not necessarily need to feel obligated to spend it every single time. You know, like, you wait for the right opportunity, and if you're not using those spells, you could just, like, tap your mana, and now you have a lot of mana available. You didn't waste that mana.
It's that anime scene, you know, like in Dragon Ball when they're just charging up the whole time, right? And it's just like whoever messes with you, especially with Electro, who only cares that it leaves the battlefield, you're probably just gonna Kamehameha them, right? So
he's sword spruce. Exile doesn't stop the ability. I really like it. I think Electro is incredible, by the way. I think that card is so good.
Yeah, Electro, I think, the more I think about it, Electro definitely counts as ramp. Leyline Tyrant, I think Tomer's argument that it doesn't actually make mana is actually kind of convincing to me, but Electro definitely, I think, is going to be really good. As far as other ways to ramp in red before we move on to black, a couple more to shout out real quick. Flip lands, you know, Richard with the classic O'Hare Exelon plan, but like Dousing Device is a really good way to do this. It's a 2-mana artifact that's really easy to flip around. And then the Tomer classic of using Cleansing Wildfire, or what's a 3-mana one? Geomancer's Gambit with an indestructible land. These are cards that are 2 or 3 mana. You blow up a land and its controller gets to search for a basic land, puts it into play tapped, and you even get to draw a card. So if you can Cleansing Wildfire like a Darksteel Citadel, an indestructible land, it's basically a rampant growth that also draws you a card, which is kind of absurd when you actually say it that way.
And it pairs so well with War of Invention, which for 3-mana instant speed, you put it in this land. It's layers, maybe, but then also just you know, somebody plays a Cabal Coffers or something, you're like, ah, I guess I'll blow this, I'll use my ramp spell later on in the game. Blow up the Cabal Coffers, draw a card. Yeah. Insane. Insane. Cards
floor
the truth.
Is 2-mana cycling, right? Worst case, you don't want the card. You just fire it off and draw a new card for 2-mana, which is not that bad.
But we need like 4 more of these. Then
you could actually build a whole package out of it. Yeah. Right now, we just don't have enough of them. Well, let's move on to black, which I gotta say is maybe the most disappointing color on our list today. We have a couple of cards there, but they're kind of all doing the same thing. What are those cards doing, Tomer? What is the black weird black ramp plan?
Black's really good at sacrificing creatures for mana. So we mentioned Metamorphosis, but black has like the OG, which is just straight up sacrifice. You sacrifice a creature, 1 black mana, instant. Additional cost to cast a spell. You sacrifice a creature. Add an amount of black equal to the sacrifice creature's mana value. So you sacrifice a big thing, you make a bunch of mana. There's also a favorite of mine that I've been running in so many decks. Please do not spike this card. I will be very angry at you. 2-mana, Soldevi Adnate. 2-mana, creature, human cleric. It's a 1/2. You tap it, sacrifice a black or artifact creature, add an amount of black equal to the sacrifice creature's mana value. What's this other one? A Halo's Brewmaster? Is this
a thing? Well, Krim you tell me what that is. Burnt Offering was the other one. Burnt Offering. Mana, sack a creature, add mana equal to its mana value of red or black to your mana pool. So basically sacrifice, but you can make red mana if you want to. I think these cards are good. The only thing I would say, I think they're probably worse in black than Metamorphosis is in green, maybe, because I feel like green has more high mana value creatures that you can cheat into play on the cheap. I think with like sacrifice and stuff, am I wrong, Krim? I see. What are you thinking? Are they actually better in black?
I wanted to talk about this stuff in Metamorphosis when Tomer was talking about it. So I have a Venom deck, right? And it's all about just getting stuff into the graveyard. Black actually has the most efficient and cheap ways to get those big bodies, Death Swarm Husk or something like that, right? That are like 8 mana, just 5/5, 1 less for every creature in your graveyard, right? Black actually has a lot of those kind of creatures. And to get like 6 mana in black or red or 8 mana, you know, obviously green has like Diamond Weapon and a Ghoul Swarm or whatever, Ghoul Tree, but I feel like black has a lot of those too. And so if you're in Golgari, you are actually primed to have all the cheap big creatures, and you can make so much mana in bursts. So I love Burnt Offering and Sacrifice, and I actually think those cards shine. I would say black would be able to use the sacrifice a burst of mana spells better than green.
I guess black also gets reanimation. We're sure you can reanimate something big and then sacrifice it to get a bunch of mana off of it. So yeah, I guess in the context of like reanimation and so forth, graveyard synergies, maybe it actually is even better in black.
They also, we've also gotten a lot of, not cards that necessarily have like can cheat on mana value by just like straight up casting them, but like Evoke was a mechanic that, you know, like works really well with this. But also more recently, we got in Edge of Eternities, we got Warp Creatures.
Yeah.
So if there's any good Warp Creatures in your deck, these cards get a little bit better with them. You warp them in for their cheap cost, and then you sacrifice them, and you get to add mana equal to their total mana value, which is usually significantly higher.
Black
just say Bygone Colossus.
Saw Krim popping up. Bygone Colossus. Not with this synergy, but yeah, that card's sweet. Krim, speaking of you, you got an interesting way to ramp in black, too. What did you add to the list here?
Okay, so I have added Hazel's Brewmaster. This is 3 and a black. It's a squirrel warlock, and it's a 3/4 with menace. And when it enters or attacks, exile up to one target card from a graveyard and create a food token. Foods you control have all activated abilities of all creature cards exiled with Hazel's Brewmaster. So if you were able to, like, let's just say, put some kind of, find a mana dork or something like that in a graveyard, all your foods can now just be mana dorks that can't be board wiped away unless it's like a Vandal Blast. So if you are able to, like, pick off, I don't know, a Dryad Arbor or any of those mana dorks, or like, and remember, Mono Black has access to colorless mana dorks in the Leaden Mirror, all the mirrors and whatnot, so you could eat those up. And this is a weird way to go about it, but the reason why I would go through all the hoops just to get that is because Hazel Brewmaster is also what I love in Commander, and it's responsible graveyard hate. So you get to kind of merge all of it together, and as we've seen in, like, currently in, like, you know, Standard, activated abilities are only just getting more prominent and more interesting as the game continues to put new cards out, right? So giving all those food tokens, like, that ability is kind of nice. And let's say they remove your Hazel's Brewmaster, it's not like it's unheard of for you to get this card back, but on top of that, it's not unheard of for you to, like, just, it's also just good value to have a bunch of food tokens to pop. So that also checks another box we all talk about in incidental life gain. So I think this card does a lot.
I think it does, too. Like, I think the card is really explosive and can do some big things in, like, a food deck. I don't know how hard it is to, like, set up to consistently be ramp without really building around it. Like, it might be a little bit random, but I think it's a really powerful card. And I think when it is ramp, because it works with any food token and not just the one, like, it makes, you can make a lot of mana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's, like, for mono black, everything... A lot of it is tied to, like, graveyard or sacrificing. Like, Hazel's Brewmaster, it's just, like, so heavily on that. Like, when I'm thinking, like, unconventional ramp, I'm thinking, like, Pawn of Ulamog. You sacrifice something, you make an Eldrazi spawn. There's, like, a 4-mana version of Pawn of Ulamog that does the same thing. There's Pitiless Plunderer. Whenever you sacrifice, you make a treasure. And it's, like, just, like... just layers upon layers of that stuff. And that's what black is really good at. It's like either sacrificing or utilizing the graveyard in cool ways. Also, like, I remember Krim play, like, Tevil's Judgment. And I remember, like, that also made treasures.
Yep.
That was pretty sick. Songs of the Damned is a big ritual as one black for each creature in your graveyard.
Yep.
For one black mana. Yep. So that could be a whole bunch. And then I didn't add this before, but I'm just thinking about it right now because I was scratching my head because we had a short list. But, like, Spoils of Evil, you, like, choose an opponent for 3 mana instant, and you make a colorless mana, and you gain life for each artifact and creature in that person's graveyard. Like, game that can make a lot of mana and make you a lot of life, so it's quite...
Well, Homer gave me this card. I forgot it. One of the events we had gone to, and you're like, Krim, I think you should check this card out. This is for you. and you just gave me this. So I still have that Spoils of Evil.
It's funny, Black's very good at making big bursts of mana. Like, they make big bursts of mana very well, but the consistent, like, little drips of mana that you see with, like, green, that's where Black's not as good, but it can make huge amounts of mana once you take advantage of its synergies. Well, let's move on to our last color, which is actually no color, which is a colorless card. So these are cards you could play in a colorless deck, or you can play in pretty much any deck, right? Because they're colorless. So we got a pretty big list here. Why don't we each pick a favorite or two from this list? Let's start with you, Tomer. What's a good colorless way to ramp that's a little bit weird?
Okay, this is my favorite lands that I consider ramp in basically all my red decks because I'm in a big red kick. It's Drownyard Temple. It's a land that enters untapped, taps for one colorless mana, pay three mana, return this card from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped. And you can do this at instant speed, by the way. So at three mana, instant speed, you can rampant growth in colorless as long as Drownyard Temple is in your graveyard. I think this card is amazing in any like self-mill style deck or any deck that discards very consistently. So we were talking about red big scores and everything like that. This pairs very well if you are doing a lot of looting and stuff in red. And then also if you're running any sort of self-mill deck like Sidisi and Sultai, for example. If you're milling a whole bunch, you know, you don't have to use it immediately, but this is essentially a free card advantage if you get to put it in the graveyard and then just activate its ability whenever you want to put it back onto the thing. Because you didn't waste a card, basically, is what I'm trying to say. It's card advantage, I think, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, because if it goes in the graveyard and didn't go from your hand, then card advantage? I don't know. That's what I think of it.
We also got the new one in Spider-Man, which isn't really ramp because it still uses your land drop for the turn, but it still gives you a free discard, right? Because you can discard it and play it as your land for the turn. So I guess it's not ramp, but it's still
something.
Oscorp Corporation, something like that. Yeah.
It's just Oscorp.
Oscorp something.
But yeah,
that's just fun.
That one's pretty sweet too. But yeah, I love Drownyard Temple. You got to be in a deck that can discard it or mill it. But in those decks, it's really good. Speaking of lands in colorless that can ramp, I kind of like the Morph lands is like a really cute way to ramp in some deck. There's like Zotaic Cavern, and then there's like a Manifest one whose name I'm not remembering at the
Ranch
time. But
of Divitugazi?
But these are lands that you can play as face down creatures for three mana, and then you can unmorph them and flip them up for two mana, and they become a land. So it's a little bit expensive, but you get a body out of it for a little bit along the way. Maybe, you know, a little grizzly bear action.
Staple and six drops and seven drops and eight drops.
Yes, it was very good that week for sure.
As long as you aren't playing like colorless, the tension when there's a face down morph card is like unreal. Like everyone's like, ooh, what is
Will
that?
Bender.
Will Bender.
It's Will Bender.
Yeah, what is it? I don't know what color. What colors are you in? So,
what do you like, Krim, on the colorless list here?
So I know that Tomer talks about, like, you know, return the favor in red and things like that. But one of the things that I've been really enjoying and just trying out is it's cheap and it's only one colorless, and it's Peter Parker's camera, right? Because Peter Parker's camera, you could just, it's a one mana artifact and it enters with three film counters on it. You can pay two, tap it, remove a film counter from this artifact, copy target activated or triggered ability you control. You may choose new targets for the copy. This is a very cheap artifact, and I'm not even going to try to get into proliferating it or anything like that. I mean, I don't even have to. I think just using those three film counters at any point that I want is more than enough. It's a really cheap artifact that I've just been getting into, and it's just a fun little moment to get to do that.
Yeah, so obviously, if you crack a fetch land, you can just copy the fetch land trigger. You get two lands instead of one. And even outside of Peter Parker's camera, there's a few cards that can do this. I think, like, Lithiform Engine. I know Phil plays, like, the blue and Virtue of Knowledge. Adventure Mode. You can copy a triggered ability. But that's something to keep in mind, especially if you're playing fetch land heavy decks. Any way that you can copy that fetch land trigger essentially turns into a rampant growth, or even a better one in some cases, because you can get a dual land or whatever with some fetch lands. So I think that's an important synergy to keep in mind. And Peter Parker's camera is the new, like, cheapest artifact to do that.
Right. And I like that it's colorless. Most importantly, I like that it's colorless. So now it's like Virtue of Knowledge. You can only do it in blue, but you can now have it in black, right? You can have it in white. You can do it wherever you need to. So I love that it scales into a way where I now can just copy whatever I need to copy, right? Like, if I've got more than enough lands, I can also copy other silly things.
is this the best version of this effect they've ever printed? Because it's like so mana, it's so cheap. And like, yeah, okay, you can only do it three times, but like, that's fine. How long is the game gonna go, right? Like, if you do it three times, is that enough?
It's
like, I don't think you need to be a proliferate deck, right? Like, you can jam it into any deck that wants to copy and things like this, right?
It's the best version for ramping, I think. I think the downside is you can't go infinite with it like you can some of the other effects, which is how people play Rings of Bright Hearth and stuff. Like, you're going to run out of counters. So if you're trying to go infinite, then it doesn't really work. But if you're just playing it fairly, I think Peter's Parker Camera is the new best version of it, yeah. What else do you like from the colorless list, Homer? Anything else before we wrap up today?
Special shout out to Spellslinger decks. You got Primal Amulet.
Yeah. Primal Omelet. Flips, yeah.
It's just very good. I actually play a lot of Terrain Generator. Terrain Generator, it's another land, colorless land that enters untapped, and you can pay two mana, tap it, and put a basic land from your hand onto the battlefield. I know the word basic means some people are going to immediately unsubscribe.
Boo.
But I like this a lot. I run it in a lot of my monocolor decks, especially the Drago ones. It's like an all-star in my Toshiro deck, which is very much Drago, and it's very much like it runs basically all the swamp mana doublers. So getting swamps on the battlefield is very, very important to me. And Terrain Generator works really well in Drago strategy, because you could just like hold up your mana, and then if you don't want to cast your spell to interact with your opponents or whatever, you just ramp out of land, and it's pretty chill.
For players like me who hate basics, there's also Horizon of Progress, which is from Modern Horizons 3 Commander. It does the same thing, except you got to pay one more mana. The land on the battlefield mode is 3 instead of 2, but you can also sack it to draw a card, so you get a little bonus there. But that's essentially the same thing, a little more expensive, but works with non-basic lands. Krim, there's one other one I got to bring up, because I think of you when I see this card, and that's Oblivion Sower. Oblivion Sower, that's kind of Krim Ramp, right?
Yeah.
It's obviously 6 mana, right? So this isn't like, turn 2, you got to get all that land to get to 6 mana. But more often than not, when I resolve this, and like depending on how much I exile in the game prior, and when I already run like Ghost Vacuum, I cannot stop shouting out Dauntless Scrapbot. I play these cards so much already. I feel like it is like Oblivion Sower just does so much work. On 6, I cast it. The lands don't even enter like tapped or anything like that. So you can almost just go again right then and there. And I don't know. I kind of like Oblivion Sower as a way to catch up against all of the decks that are just going wild. The only problem I have is that now I'm kind of tied to the person I stole all their lands from, right? That is the only problem.
If you kill them, you lose the land.
You don't want to kill them.
Yeah, that is kind of a problem. We've seen this card be very good, though. I feel like we had a game this season where someone cast this in a ramp like a ridiculous amount with it. Was it Grandma?
Blind flip. There was nothing in exile for
Phil. Oh, and he just hit 4 lands.
And he hit like 4 lands. I'm like, what the heck? This is the same guy who like blind. What was the
Let's
is
open
it,
the way. Let's open the way with
guy,
the body.
And he, like, omniscience off it. This is the luckiest man.
Yeah.
Blind counterbalance gamer. I'm rewarded.
You have to be some sort of graveyard-y exile-y deck, though. Yeah. Right? You wouldn't just play this fairly to look at 4 cards and hope for the best, probably.
Unless you have Krim luck.
Unless you got the Krim. Krim does have luck. You remember when you won all those coin flips with the extra turn, like three or whatever? You have the most insane
like
luck.
Or anything you just like did it one time and got like omniscience on the battlefield. Like, no.
I think
and we looked at the stats and it was like less than 1%.
Yeah, like this doesn't happen.
5, 6, 7, 8 episode, like, right? Like I straight up copy, I just target Seth and I hit your 2 biggest like draw spells and ramp spells. Like,
cool. That was brutal. The crit.
And then the comment section obliterated me. They're like, oh, why did you counter that trigger? Because, like, I didn't think you would hit the absolute best card in Seth's entire deck.
Yeah, how do you
I
expect
didn't think that?
But
anyway,
regardless of that, though, one final touch is that I do think if you are playing and building like responsibly, you have graveyard hate. You have lots of things that are exiling across the way. And if you know you're gaming like I am and you're playing Ghost Vacuum, you definitely get to just single-handedly pick and target lands whenever you need. And I think that you don't think much of it, but as we start exiling more, right, just the years like to come, then I think it's going to be more relevant than you would think. Just like Dauntless Scrapbot, you don't think much about it, but if I go Scrapbot on 3 and then Oblivion Sower on like 6 or whatever, there's a good chance I get a couple of lands automatically just from whatever Scrapbot hit.
I think Scrapbot's great. I just didn't even think of it because I just didn't think it was that weird. It reminds me of like Solemn.
That's like conventional rep.
It's like a really good rep spell. But it is really good and it's new, so people might not really be aware of it. But it's like 3 mana for a 3/1 and you make a land or token, you can sack to Rampant Growth.
But you exile everything as it enters from your opponents.
Yes.
Also, right, their graveyard.
You get the Tormod's Crypt effect on top of it. So it does combine with Oblivion Sower. Yeah.
I have one last one.
What's your
last one,
Tomer?
Because I was like, my goodness, how did I not mention it? Tiling Gates of Madara. Is this a ramp?
Yes, yes.
It's a land gate. It enters untapped again for some reason. When an ETB's target creature phases out, it taps for colors. You could even mana fix with it by paying one and tapping it. But you could pay 4 mana and just put it from your hand onto the battlefield at instant speed.
It's so rampant, baby.
This is like one of the most incredible lands they've printed in a while, right? Like, it's insane.
Oh, the card's so insane. The only problem I would say is I feel like people hold on to it too much. I think it's not ramp as much as it should be because people get in the trap of like, oh, this is going to be my protection spell on turn 10 or something. When you should, I think a lot of times if you don't have anything else going on, just get it out on turn 4 and let it ramp and figure out another way to protect your board later.
I'm definitely guilty of missing a land drop just to keep it.
I know. It's so tempting. Same
I am guilty of it.
I can be like that.
I'm
like,
so
guilty
of it.
I'm just like, I have nothing better to do. I'm just going to, like, we're invention. That's the difference between me and Krim is like, it's 3 mana ramp, you know? Like, sometimes I'll hold on to it if I need to, but Krim's like, We're different. Krim also has a way better win percentage than me, so maybe I should listen. Krim's got to Krim a little bit more.
Krim's got a way better win percentage than everyone this season.
Maybe I'm just doing it wrong.
Apparently,
and all of
this
is like blind luck, and I love that I'm just like it's not even calculated. Like I'm just stumbling my way in.
Shh! I'll calculate.
Yes.
Anyway, everyone, those are our weird ways to ramp that actually work, at least in some decks. So you've heard our list. Let us know what weird ways you ramp in your decks. Is there anything we didn't talk about you think's really good? Let us know in the comments. Maybe we'll try it out on a future Commander Clash. So thanks for watching, everyone. Hope you all enjoyed it. And we'll be back next week to talk some more Commander. So until then, have a great week. And this is the crew signing out.